I listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
Even if it ain't sunny, hey, I ain't complaining. I'm in the rain doing a buck 40 hydroplaning with shorty where you may disappear to sun maintaining. Putting myself in a position most of these rappers ain't in. I'm living the Ill Street blues, got me hunger painting. Nothing to gain and a whole lot to lose. You're still singing. Fool, I'm thorough in every burrow. My name be ringing, warm it up for the perfect time to hit your brain and you're feeling it. To all the girls, I bought a girdle to conceal my bricks. No doubt they can vouch my life is real as shit. 95 South at Poppy on the hill and shit. Hey, welcome to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast. Your host Rod and
Karen.
And we're in the house on a Monday. That's right. Second day of the week as far as we're concerned. Mm-hmm. Actually third, because we start on it's a whole thing.
Yeah.
It's a whole thing.
It's a thing.
Yeah. It's just me and Karen today. Gonna be holding it down on the ones and twos. Of course, you can find us on iTunes and Stitcher. Just search the Black Guy Who Tips. We'll come up, leave us 5-star reviews, and we promise we will read them on the air as long as they're nice.
As long as we approve them.
As long as they are nice. Some of you guys are very mean. I don't know why you listen to us and you listen to us so mean.
Ain't that the truth? Don't waste your time. Go find somebody else. I'm sorry.
Yeah, be nice. Of course, you can also go to theblackguywhotips.com. You can vote in the polls, leave comments, sign up for premium, theblackguywhotips.com/premium. A bunch of stuff there. It all helps the show out. We appreciate everybody who takes the time out to do it.
We do.
The official weapon of the show is
the taser.
And the unofficial sport
is bullet ball.
And bullet ball extreme. And today's podcast is brought to you by Adam and Eve. That's right, guys. Oh wait, did I even say how many days Bobby Smarter had been in jail? I sure did not. 607. We ain't forgot. Okay. I know a lot of y'all would like for us to forget that Bobby Smarter is in jail, but we will not be forgetting that Bobby Smarter is in jail around these parts. Okay. Nice try, internet. We will be definitely giving him his credit. Anyway, this show is brought to you by adamandeve.com. That's right, a sexy ass sponsor. Where's my sexy music to play? Oh yeah, Adam and Eve want to get into you. I know that's right. They want to get so into you. And how are they going to do that? By letting you go to adamandeve.com and inviting you to half off of just about anything. Mm-hmm. They will give you half off of just about any item. You pick the item. It's up to you. Then they give you 3 free adult DVDs plus a free exclusive gift and free shipping on your entire order. All you got to do is go to adamandeve.com, put in code TBGWT. That's how you get it, y'all. Okay, you pick that item that you're gonna put so into you, and it's gonna appreciate you, and it's gonna make you appreciate yourself. Okay, it's gonna make your day go better. It's gonna give you a reason to go home, you know, at night. I know some of you guys take the long way home, but no more. Go straight from work to home, because you can't wait to get there to see your new gifts and your professional DVDs. All you got to do is go to adamandeve.com. when you go to checkout, put TBGWT in the offer box, get 50% off. All right, guys, you're going to take your clothes half off. The item going to be half off. Everything going to be half off. Play me out, girls. Sisters with voices. Mm-hmm. All right, guys, we have all kinds of news to talk about. Show's gonna be all over the place because there's just so much stuff to talk about, really.
Okay.
The first thing I wanted to bring up, though, is not like an article or anything, but it's just on my mind and I wanted to talk about it. It was apparently, and you know, like through Facebook and through this podcast, I'm friends with a lot of comedians, many in the New York scene. Mm-hmm. At this point, and so comedians are a lot like any other office, any other coworkers, you know. you have your good, you have your bad, you have your people that are upbeat, your people that are down.
Right, your hard working ones, your not so hard working ones, yeah.
Yeah, and more importantly, you know, there's hierarchies, there's big dogs who speak on shit, and the people that are less influential that speak on shit, and right. All the hierarchies you can imagine amongst any group of people still exist within comedy.
Right, you have different levels of experience, all kinds of things, yes.
Well, apparently, there's accusations floating around that this guy who's a comedian raped two comedians, and because of this, yeah, and because of this, the UCB, which is like a club and a improv comedy scene, the Upright Citizens Brigade, the UCB in New York, I believe, banned this dude from there. From their club, and I believe they even had like an announcement and to their website and things of this nature. Mm-hmm. And so basically I had to watch like a debate almost ensue, you know, because of course there were people that were like, okay, well, I'm not giving this dude a spot on my show. This dude cannot just come through anymore. And to me, I think that's a reasonable thing. This is rape. This isn't just, I mean, there's a myriad of things you can be accused of, but two separate people accusing you of rape is, you know, one of those like red flags for me where it's like, ooh, okay, how are you going to explain that? You know, what is the situation here? And so it's been interesting because the reaction has been, well, these people didn't go to the police yet, so therefore how can I believe you? There's been people who say, I do believe you, but you didn't go to the police, therefore I what are we supposed to do? I'm not going to act on this, right? Which their prerogative, but UCB is a private owned facility and they decided not to have this dude in there no more.
Right.
Really nothing you really can say against that, you know. The other thing that was interesting about it is, once again, men become the police when it comes to this kind of shit. We become the white dudes of this shit, you know, like, and in this case it's not necessarily along racial lines, but definitely along most gender lines. Dudes become the wait for all the facts, where's all the evidence, why didn't you go to the police, why didn't you go to trial, well, what about him, he's a real victim, you guys are making him look bad, what about the opportunities he might not get now because we need to be concerned about him. Like, it's sad really to see how, you know, a lot of these people talk about standing up for all this shit, but end of the day, like, they cave like every other person caves. And it's honestly sad because what it made me think about was, so many people began defending Bill Cosby by saying, well, why didn't these women come forward at the time? Well, here it is. This is the time. This isn't 1966. This is 2016. You know, women that are coming forward now, and your response to them is, well, I still don't want to just believe you. I mean, come on, that's crazy, you know, like, you gotta win in the court of law somehow, and then I believe you. For the record, I don't, and I do think, you know, like, this dude probably did it. I'm not gonna lie, I'm not the court of law. It's just my opinion. Like, two separate people accuse you of the same shit. I also believe when black people say they're harassed by the police, unless I see that it didn't happen, then I'm more likely to just be like, yeah, I take your word for it. Because police have a history of systemic violence towards black people and people of color in America. Men have a history of violence towards women in the world forever. We're the police of gender. We are the corruption. We are the systemic oppressors. We are the tools, and we are the abusers. And so it's not that far-fetched to be like, well, it's gonna take, you know, like, people make it seem like there's this whole thing of just like a bunch of innocent dudes just being accused of rape all the time. Like, it's this epidemic. And then not just that, but society reacting to it and destroying these men's lives. And I'm not saying it never happens. Obviously, we have documented cases of it happening to people, and I'm sure it's a nightmare. It's a nightmare to be accused. It's a nightmare to be, for people to lie on me on the internet. It's definitely gotta be a nightmare if you're falsely accused of something that you did not do, and especially something like that's criminal and whatnot. I'm not trying to belittle that, but it's also a nightmare to be a victim of something, and even the insinuation of it is enough for people to be like, shut the fuck up and go away. You know, even the idea that, you know, it's always another hoop you have to jump to. Cause I don't believe people when they say, well, if they went to the police, you say, well, let's wait till what the police find out. And if the police say, which they often do, hey, you don't actually have enough evidence when it comes to rape. A lot of times it's his word against yours. He's saying it's consensual. We can, you know, file charges if you want to, but you know, there's a good chance this won't go to court. There's a good chance you won't get justice. A lot of times rapists know which, tactics to use that, because they're not stupid either. They're not going to jump out of a bush. You know, a lot of people are raped by people they know. So there's some level of plausible deniability. A lot of rapists fly people with alcohol and shit like that. And end of the day, there's always he said, she said with a lot of these situations. End of the day, like, unless we're really talking about a complete stranger who jumps out the bushes, beats somebody, rapes them, and then denies it, and then we go, well, we know you had sex with this person because your DNA was over here. That, like, in most people's mind, that's the perfect scenario for us to go, ha ha, rapist. But what about the many, many, many other scenarios of, hey, I went to this dude's dorm room to study and we were cool, and then he raped me and I said no, and he continued anyway. I was raped. Yeah, well, I mean, that one's a little more murky. What about his future? You sure you want to do this? I mean, you did go over there, you know? I mean, you know, and here's the thing that I would like for a lot of men to imagine, just for a second, not that this never happens, but I think in our minds, we never perceive this as men. What if it was you? What if you was hanging out with your boy down his house playing video games and the motherfucker just was like, I'm raping you? What if it was you? You know what I'm saying? Like, how do you prove? He's like, hey, it was consensual. He came down there. He knew what it was. This is what, hey, I mean, he's talking about overpowering him and shit. Every man is coming up with scenarios in their head right now. Listen, I would fight him. I would do this. I would do that. Okay, imagine it was some diesel ass nigga that you couldn't just push off of you. Because pretty much almost every man is stronger than a lot of women. So imagine that you physically can't do anything. Like, this just happened to you. Well, I go to the police. Here's the thing about that. You will be believed because you're a man. That's the rub of it all. We can't even really fathom what it's like. You know what I'm saying? We really can't, because we would never be treated this way. We would never not be believed. If I accused another man of rape, people would go, obviously that shit happened. Maybe if I was gay or something, because I know there's like some people that, you know, when the victim is a gay male, it's like, oh no, that's just like a woman in my opinion, and I ain't believing shit. But for straight men, let's say for straight men, most of us would be believed because people would be like, well, obviously. One of the saddest things is this is like a pattern. I know there was a dude who abused his girlfriend, and she's a comedian, he's a comedian, and she posted pictures. We talked about it on the podcast, but she posted pictures on, I think it was Instagram or something, and there were bruises and all this stuff. She said she was raped and whatnot, and people did the same thing. I don't believe her. I mean, why is she doing this to him? Why y'all are ruining this young man's future? What about him? And so at some point he eventually said, well, it was a one-time thing and da 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 da. And people went, okay, cool. Well, tar and feather him, fuck him, he's the worst. you only did that once a man came up and said it was me. Like, you still didn't believe her. You believe the word of a man. You believed him because he's a dude. That's the only way you will believe a woman, is if some dude comes through and goes, yeah, I did do it on some level. Like, it's the only way, man. I know this shit is slippery. I know it's a murky water. I know, like, you know, shit, just navigating our Facebook group is difficult. You know, people leave shit out, people start shit, leave what they said out of the shit, then get this guy out of here and stuff. Like, I know that it's difficult, and it's not always simple, but one thing that is very apparent is that for all the good that people speak, they don't really believe in these people. I'm afraid of police. If something happened to me, I might not go to the police. You know what I'm saying? There's people that get, you know, hey, my phone was stolen. You know what I do? Go buy a new phone. I'm not gonna call the police. I'm not gonna report it. If I get in a fight, I'm not calling the cops, y'all. I'm not. I mean, what are they gonna do? They not gonna unfight it. They not gonna unbeat me. You know, I think it's hard for people to relate to this shit because, especially men, we just have never imagined it. There's a level of privilege we have where we'd have never imagined it. Just the vigilance it takes. Imagine you are a victim of sexual assault. The vigilance it takes to get the little bit of justice that you probably won't get automatically is so daunting. It's really not worth it. If you're being honest, if we're being honest, like, I have so much respect for people that go to court over and over and they relive that shit over and over and they look the people that did this to them in the face over and over and they maintain that vigilance over the years. Some of this shit drags out years. Technicalities come up. You gotta go back to court. You gotta go get interviewed by the police again. You know, you gotta tell your story for the fifth time. Don't forget, when we're talking about the process, like, something happens to you, okay? You tell somebody. Normally the first person you tell isn't even a police officer, but let's just say you tell a friend. Your friend goes, you should tell the police. Cause there's so much shame and shit attached with this that you, and like I said, this is one of the tools that abusers use, is this shame to make you feel like, well, maybe I shouldn't tell anybody. So then you tell your friend goes, you should go to the police. Okay, you go tell the police. You know, typically that's met with skepticism. And I know in Jameis Winston's case, when he was accused, the police told her, basically said to his accuser, you sure you want to do this? You know, he played football, right? Like, you know, like, it's probably not going to help you out. Probably not going to work. In Milledgeville, when Ben Roethlisberger was accused of sexual assault, the police basically, when they gave their statement towards the press, they said, I believe her, but I can't press charges. Like he said everything basically to say, I think this dude's guilty, but I can't press charges. I can't go forward with this because at the end of the day, it's going to be he said, she said, and I absolutely think she was right. But what can I do? He got all the money. He got all the power, and the burden of proof is on the victim. So it's very, in many cases, you can believe a victim and still not be able to help them. It happens. You know, I understand. But for somebody to say, y'all are lynching this man, y'all are, you know, this is unfair what's happening to this dude. Let me put it this way. If this same guy got accused of stealing people's shit, just does it. He goes to people, he goes to shows. He stole a couple comedians' items from backstage. Y'all didn't catch him. No one called the police. Y'all still gonna book him on your show? That's cool. Y'all, he can come through your house. Y'all good with that? Most of us going, no. If he is around me, I'm watching him like a motherfucking hog, and no, I don't want him around my show. Several people have now been wronged by this man. Let me tell you something else. The people that have been wronged by him and people that believe them, they're not gonna want him around. So when they see him, they're gonna feel uncomfortable. So your other comedians, audience members, you're now putting this dangerous person around them. Like, that's on you. Cause you did know of the accusation. So that now you're responsible. You can't pass that off to somebody else. Other things that I think people don't really consider. If two black people accuse a coworker of, say, being racist, y'all just go, oh, well, come on now. What's your proof? hey man, that dude was racist towards me, he did some racist shit. I don't got it on camera or nothing, but I'm just telling you this is my experience with him. I think that dude's a racist. Yeah, well, what about him? You're ruining his career. He did some racist shit to me. This isn't revenge. I don't have a vendetta. This is what happened and I'm telling you about it. Yeah, but come on, think about his life. You know, think about, the thing, like, we can't do anything. No, especially the black men that I've seen kind of defend this, you don't think like that. And you don't, when someone accuses the police of something, when someone accuses somebody of racism, you absolutely believe them unless something is proven the otherwise. You know, then you go, well, okay, maybe this didn't happen that way. But you need to see something to make, because you know the propensity through your lived life experience, the propensity of the truth, like, it's probably true that this person was violated racially. Okay, well, the history of men is probably true. Multiple women accuse you of rape is probably true. You know, and then the last thing I would say is just, this Cosby shit will happen today. It will happen today. We haven't gone anywhere. We haven't come anywhere. Cosby shit would happen today. And a lot of the response I saw on Facebook and shit is the reason why it would keep happening. You have shamed every victim afterwards. This person may have even more victims. They know not to say shit now because of people angrily yelling at them. And what you're really upset about is the fact that it would dare interrupt your jam. That's it. You just upset that it interrupts your jam. You don't get to just mindlessly exist. You have to think, this might be fucked up. That's it. It didn't cost you shit, for the record. Nothing has cost anybody anything. A moment of having to go, man, this dude might be a rapist. That's what it cost you. And we don't even want to give up that moment because it's like, no, bitch, go to the motherfucking police then. Prove it. It's like, okay, I went to the police. They say this, he said, she said, and they're not going to investigate it or prove anything. They questioned him. He said, sex was consensual. That's as far as it's going to get. I don't have $1 million. I don't have a lawyer. I don't have this, you know, like, I knew this would be a waste of time to take the time off of work to get a rape kit, all this shit. I knew it would be a waste of time. But I did it so that you will believe me. And you know what? You still won't. Cause the default is to not believe her. That's it. And it's that simple, man. It's just real, she was just real whack to see, man. You know, like, people are respecting shit. Just being like, okay, cool. So basically, just keep the jam going. That's the whole point. So, that shit was infuriating. All right. Other news. Might as well stay mad. The Nightly Show got canceled. The last episode will be Thursday. I love The Nightly Show. I record it. I watch it religiously. I record them and save them for the morning. So this is like my wake up show. Everybody knows I love Willie Wilmore. Mm-hmm. Just overall great dude and a genius, in my opinion. Go look up his IMDb page if you get a chance.
It's off the chain.
Yeah.
He's done a lot of shit that you wouldn't even think he was involved in.
Yeah, some of the things he's been involved in, you know, Bernie Mac show and Blackish, and I mean, things going way back. And kind of like Leslie Jones, to me, he was a comedian who, it was his time, basically. Like, he put in the time, and this is him giving given his chance, you know, his just due or whatever. And I'm not saying obviously it didn't work to the satisfaction of Comedy Central, but I'm glad to see he got his chance. You know, a lot of times we like a show like that, you go with the younger, hipper, quote unquote, black comedian, and in some cases, I don't even know if you would have a younger black comedian that could do what he did. because he wasn't afraid to talk about race.
Right.
And many of the black comedians today kind of exist in this space where they don't discuss race.
Mm-mm. Don't broach the topic.
Yeah, some very silly type shit, but never, like, there's no Chris Rock of the current crop of young comedians. Mm-hmm. There's no, no Richard Pryor for sure. There's not even a Dave Chappelle. Mm-mm. These niggas are scared to talk about race. They're so scared these white people won't like them or laugh at them or accept them. And maybe also the kind of nigga that gets owned is not one that's woke to that shit. You know what I mean? Like, it's the cost benefit analysis of being woke ain't necessarily gonna line your pockets for in a lot of these dudes' minds. You know, it's not gonna endear you to white audiences the way that you might want to be. That's my guess. Now, I don't think that's true. White people love consuming black shit.
Yes, they do.
They love hearing people talk about race. They love it. You know, that's why there's a Chappelle. That's why there's a Chris Rock. That's why there's a Richard Pryor. That's why those people are better at comedy than most of these comedians are ever going to be, because they took that third rail that everyone was like, stay away from, and they talked about it. You know, like, beyond just white people do this, black people do that, but they actually talked about it, the ridiculousness of it, the insecurity of it. But I think this crop of comedians is very much I don't see race. Mm-hmm. We move beyond race.
Yep.
Black people are just as much guilty of racial shit as white people. You know, that's the new crop. Like, it's, to me, are a bunch of cowards for the most part, you know, and maybe that's not your lived experience, so you can't even relate, but it's cowardice in the most part, in my opinion, because you have to go along to get along. You know, you look at the people who had the platforms. They're the same comedians that were saying, this poor guy getting accused of rape, he's a real victim. They're white dudes. They're bros. You know, comedian is the same hierarchy of corporate America. A lot of white dudes making decisions. A lot of other people trying to get down, to lay down, to be down. And it, you know, whether it's promoted as this truth telling outside of shit or not, it's, you know, you look at the people that for the most part are successful and at the top of it, it is going to be the very white male centric anti-woman, anti-race motherfuckers.
Yep.
At any rate, so Larry Wilmore and the Nightly Show basically got canceled. Of course, I have a lot of thoughts on this. I'll just get in where you fit in. I know I've been talking a long time, but first and foremost, it was a great show. It was funny.
Yes.
It was important. It found its voice probably 3 or 4 months in. I know some people gave up on it. Some people weren't really watching the Colbert Report or the Daily Show at the time anyway.
Right.
This is a show that put black people first and foremost, and what we thought first and foremost.
Right.
It was a show that had heart. It gave a lot of women had active roles, whether behind the scenes or in front of the camera. There were women of all colors there. There were people of all colors contributing. It was a show that was not afraid to be offensive. Mm-hmm. Cause like a lot of times, I love W. Kamau Bell, but sometimes I felt like his show got to a point where it was kind of afraid to be offensive. And that might just be his voice. Like, he is a very caring, affable motherfucker. Like, that dude is, you know, he's awesome. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, like, I think that show's voice was different. Like,
it's a different voice.
Yeah, it was more of a like, and we're gonna try to stay away from jokes that might just piss people off, that are liberal or whatever. But this show was not like that. Mm-hmm. Like, each writer had their distinctive voices when they did the panels. You know, there were people where I'd be like, oh, I hope this motherfucker don't say no stupid shit tonight. But at the same time, it would be somebody there to be like, well, here's what's wrong with that, or here's why I disagree with that, or whatever. Like, it was always kind of like a round table discussion at the end, you know, after they got rid of the keeping it 100 thing and all that. Mm-hmm. I'm sad to see it go. A lot of comedians I became aware of through that show.
True.
You know, some of the people that I had known already via Twitter and stuff like that, I got to see get on.
Right.
And that's something kind of like with Melissa Harris Perry's show going away. we probably won't see some of these people as prominently featured on other things. I hope we do, but we might not, you know. I feel like a lot of this shit is connected. Like, and they had a segment on the show called The Unblackening, where they talked about the White House, basically the countdown to white people going back to the white, in the White House. And I feel like that's what's happening to cable news. That's what's happening to the Black Voice. I feel like this is connected the same way to MSNBC as it is to Comedy Central. This next election is about to whiten up the White House again. And as far as a lot of corporate spaces and media spaces are concerned, that's enough of our Black ass opinions, y'all. It was cool and trendy for 8 years, you know, with the President Obama. We needed somebody to navigate and discuss these racial issues. We needed people, Black faces in front of the screen. But I would not be shocked if we don't get a show about, with any level of Black audience centered commentary in whenever they fill this slot. Because I think right now they're putting At Midnight there, but you know, eventually if they try to come back with something, I doubt it's going to be Black centric. One of the things that I think a lot of people had issues with this show was that it's a show where they could have a serious discussion that's not trying to be humorous as quickly as they would have a discussion that was extremely funny. And that is weird because Jon Stewart did that. Stephen Colbert did that. Black people are not allowed to do that. Like, that's why people listen to us. It's because we're a place that's allowed to do that. We don't have a boss. No producers in my ear. No one's going to cancel us. No one's going to come and be like, hey, you guys started a show off talking about rape and then talking about racism in the media and how this show got canceled. No one's going to say, that's not funny, guys. You can't talk about that. You know, as opposed to, TV, where you do have a boss. And here's the things that I find interesting. I'm not going to debate the humor of the show or the funniness of the show. I found it to be funny. I watched every episode. I recorded every one. Karen can vouch for it. Like, this isn't a joke or just some shit I'm saying because it's over. You know, I enjoy Jordan Carlos and his Rodman impression. You know, I enjoy Robin Thede. I enjoy Mark Yard. Like, he's been doing comedy so long, and I would really have not been familiar with his work if not for the fact that, I mean, Mike Yard, if not for the fact that Mike Yard got this spot. Like, I don't know what other show's gonna put Mike Yard on my TV and have his opinion heard, whether this is Hillary bashing, his conspiracy shit, or his whatever. No, like, only that show would do that. So, you know, Holly Walker, like, there's, like, these people became kind of fixtures in my house. I can't say they came fixtures for every Black person.
Right.
And I understand, like, I don't think this was on Black people, and I really hated the people that came on my Twitter today and tried to turn it into, see, this is what happened when the Black people don't support the Blackness. No, shut the fuck up. This is what happens when white people who watched other shit feel threatened by the idea of some Black shit. That's it. That's the connection. We make up 13% of the population, guys. Okay? Black people are not obligated to watch anything. You don't owe 100% of your viewership to Blackness. You shouldn't be guilted into doing something.
Nope.
Not everybody's political. Not everyone's entertained by this kind of shit. This was for the percentage of Black people that watched the Daily Show and the Colbert Report.
Right.
To be like, I might check this out. That's it. That's the only people that you really need to consider. I don't believe in guilting Black people in entertainment. I don't even do that with our shit. Like, you don't ever see me be like, why you ain't supporting me as a Black man? Like, if you don't find this good, then cool, move on.
That's my motto. You ain't got to be here.
Yeah, it's absolutely fine. You don't owe me shit.
Mm-mm.
But what I found to be funny was they're canceling the show. They're canceling the show, okay? The Daily Show, and now I'm kind of worried for Trevor Noah, but The Daily Show replaced their host. Like, when they have issues, they're like, let's replace their host, let's You know, this is like really the fourth or fifth host if you consider the interim host, such as John Oliver, and I think Jason Jones is an interim host for a while, maybe even Samantha Bee, but I'm not sure about that. I know Craig Kilborn, John Stewart, like they've had multiple hosts there, but the fixture of the Daily Show has never changed. It has always been there. 11 o'clock, you can count on that shit. Colbert Report was more about Stephen Colbert, but the fact is, the reason you have a Colbert Report is because of the Daily Show.
Right.
Because they groomed him to be able to use his talent to go somewhere else and star. Here's my point. Where are the black voices that have been cultivated in comedy where they wouldn't have to delete a show but be like, maybe we switch up, you know, hey, we don't give Roy Wood Jr. the seat and he can host it and we'll give that a try. You know what, why don't we move around the time slot? Okay, maybe we don't go at 11:30, we move at midnight there, and we move this to, I don't know, 10:30, we move it to 12, I don't know, whatever. There's all kinds of stuff that I think other shows kind of get the benefit of a different support network behind it. You know, I remember when W. Kamau Bell's show was on FX, and then by all, you know, calculations at first, it was a hit. People were watching it. It was like cool.
Didn't they change the FFFFFXXXXYZ?
Right. And not only that, but then they moved it to four times a week, which is a lot more content and a lot more to ask of a crew of people. And suddenly it was like people couldn't find the show. And when they did find it, it was like, okay, this isn't my once a week thing anymore. You're now asking me to commit 2 hours a week to watching this. I'm out. And that's basically what happened to the show. In this case, man, I'm not gonna say Comedy Central didn't support it. I wouldn't be shocked if when we get some behind the scenes, we get some people that kind of tell all or whatever. I wouldn't be shocked to find out they didn't, to be honest, but I'm not gonna say that. Mm-hmm. What I will say is that it just kind of shows that this race, speaking on race, is just a double, you're just damned if you do, damned if you don't, you know, like you're just kind of caught up either way. Like people are gonna be like, your shit, it's not funny. Well, it's not always gonna be funny,
right?
When I'm talking about black people getting killed by the cops, sorry, I don't have enough jokes for that. Not to mention, when Jon Stewart does a not funny long ass monologue about race, it goes viral and we treat it like God himself said the shit.
Right, it's all up and down my, we talked about this before, it's all up and down my Facebook, particularly Facebook. You know, I mean, literally this shit is fucking posted everywhere. Every white person you know is retweeting and posting that stuff about, ain't he telling the truth? Well, me and you talked about this, and I know you said he's allowed to talk about the shit in Ferguson and not have a smile and be disgusted and be irritated and be angry, and he's allowed to emote, he's allowed to show emotions, he's allowed to do it and just be himself.
Right.
But the thing about when it comes to black people talking about black shit, you better have a smile on your face, you better do it with a joke, you better not show that you're angry, you better not even frown up, you better not show any disdain in your voice, you better not sound like you have empathy or sympathy for your people, you better not. And the thing is, a lot of times, even if we do get people to talk about it, like with the dude on The Daily Show, he's not from America. And right. I'm not knocking him or anything, and I'm not knocking his blackness, but he's not from America. And that makes a difference also. And it's also one of those things where you want people to talk about these things, but they have to be the right type of black. And they have to do it in the right type of way. And they have to have the right type of voice. And they have to be the right type of person, you know. And a lot of times it's white male, honestly. Any other group, they're not trying to hear that. And me and you have talked about this, but from the very beginning, ever since both of these hosts have been black, I have not, and they have said the exact same things that Stephen Colbert and Jon Stewart has said, but all of a sudden, it's motherfucking crickets. I don't see the retweets. I don't see the reposts. Excuse me. I don't see this shit going viral. I don't go and see it going live, because it's something about a black voice speaking on these things that way make white America feel uncomfortable. Like, we don't mind talking about, we don't mind, put it like this, we don't mind white people talking about your shit, because we know that when a white person talk about your shit, they don't have that experience. And because they don't have that experience, they're going to present it in a way to make me not feel so guilty about the choices and decisions that I've made or how I treat black people and brown people, so I can applaud and go, woo, in the background and go on about my fucking way. But when a black person say it, and all of a sudden you feel the pain, you see the disdain in their voice, and all of a sudden you begin to have empathy and sympathy, and you begin to feel bad about things that have happened to this person. People don't want to hear that, you know, particularly the dude bros in Comedy Central. Truth be told, their target audience is that dude bro 18 to 25. Like, that is their target demographic. And that show did not fit that. That show challenged them, made them think. And one thing I really did like about the show, they talked about black shit, and they kind of kept their pulse to an extent to black Twitter, because there'd be some things that happen and they would bring it up, and it's almost like you had to be on social media to even know about some of the shit.
You know what's funny though, and this is why I found funny, when people were saying stuff like, well, I mean, what do you think, you know, so many shows and stuff, and like, yeah, and the black one's the one that got canceled. Here's the thing that's kind of odd though. White people love black shit. They love consuming us. They love our slang. They love the being on the next wave of shit. They love Chappelle. They love, like, it's not that, I mean, Chappelle's jokes were some of the most scathing jokes towards America and racism ever. But if white people did love it, what they don't love is when we have to be serious. And when you do news, even in satire, occasionally news is so fucked up, you have to be serious. And if you're going to be serious, if you're going to be angry, if you're going to be indignant, you better be a white man. You don't get to do that as a black person. You just don't get to do that. John Oliver's entire steez is going on the air and being like, you know, like, what the fuck? What is this? Like, that's his whole thing. Is I'm angry and I'm upset. You know, Jon Stewart, his whole thing is like, I'm so broken and defeated and I'm trying to find a laugh in this shit, but America, you're fucking up. And even in that, there was like a trust given, because he's a white dude. You know, there's just, you can't develop that trust. I'm hopeful for Trevor Noah and his crew, because at least Trevor Noah's from outside of America. And there may be white people that aren't as threatened by his, like, I'm South African and I'm as confused about these things as you guys are. I don't know this country. Isn't this silly that you guys believe this? Like, he can kind of pull that. But Larry Wilmore is a older black male. He absolutely has experienced it and knows what racism is and will call that shit out. Like, I feel like in a large part, ever since he said my nigga to Obama, there's been a kind of eroding of support for that dude, you know, and they don't want his show to go viral or succeed or whatever. And it's just sad, because ultimately people either watch or they don't, and enough people didn't watch, and Comedy Central didn't have enough faith that it would come around, and they didn't give it enough rope. This isn't the first time. I mean, we had Chocolate News. I remember David Allegra had Chocolate News and that shit got canceled. So it's not the first time. It won't be the last. It may really take TV1 centric BET, somebody like that, taking a show and developing it from the ground up, that's comedy satire news, because they have black news shows and stuff, but the comedy satire angle, it just doesn't, like, it can succeed when white people are going to feel uncomfortable when the joke may be leveled at them. You know, and not to mention, I feel like there's always this compromise that black people are making to not piss white people off. Case in point, Cam Newton.
What about him?
I hope you're sitting down.
This don't sound too good. That's sad.
Everybody knows Karen and I are huge Cam Newton fans. Mm-hmm. We are both Panthers fans. Mm-hmm. And you know, he's my favorite quarterback. Mm-hmm. What do you think about the criticism he's received? Do you think any of it's racially motivated? Karen, they can't hear you out there, but from her face, it is very much a nigga please, of course.
Right. What kind of question is that?
Okay. Well, according to Cam Newton, it's not.
What is it then?
It's not racism. Everyone's entitled to their own opinion. Even though it doesn't take much to see how often he gets called. Just search Cam nigger. Mm-hmm. Check the comment sections.
Cam monkey.
Thug. Some things people said about him.
Yeah, Cam got in a car wreck and people lost their motherfucking minds and called him all types of niggers. And the person hit him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He was a bad example for having a kid out of wedlock. Bad example for dabbing on people.
Mm-hmm. Not a team player.
Right. Obviously, he's not a team player. Called not smart. You know, when he came into the league, called lazy. Questioned his work ethic. At any rate, in January, right before the Super Bowl, you said, I'm an African American quarterback that may scare a lot of people because they haven't seen nothing that they can compare me to. And he says, I don't want this to be about race, because it's not. It's like we're beyond that as a nation.
No, we are not.
Earlier, they asked, do you feel like football fans are racist towards you? He said, it's not racism. Everybody's entitled to their own opinion. He said, so if it's not racism, what is it? What do you think? And he says, I'll let you be the judge. I don't look at it like that. I look at it like some people have certain beliefs and I have my own belief, and we can agree to disagree on certain things, but this is what makes sports so amazing. We can start a discussion around the table in the newspaper, in the magazines, that will get people's attention. And that's what sports does.
I'm gonna tell you right now, you fuck around, not come at gangbusters this year.
Oh yeah, I mean, look,
and it's gonna be your black ass fault.
I officially feel like the NFL season doesn't truly begin until at least one black quarterback claims to be above race and racism, because it happens every year. I remember when it was RG3. I remember when it was Vince Young. Jason Campbell did it. Like, the only dude I've never seen do it, and I don't know why he catches so much flack, Donovan McNabb is the only black quarterback I have never seen say some shit like, I'm above race, or I'm not a black quarterback, I'm just a quarterback. Like, he's like, I'm black, yes. And y'all got a motherfucking problem about that? Like, the problem is y'all. Yes, I know some of this criticism is because I'm black. And it's like, as soon as he said that shit, black people was done with him and white people was done with him. At any rate, they say, not saying Cam doesn't mean what he says here, I couldn't begin to know that, but I do know that he and his father Caesar have said and indicated otherwise as recently as 4 months ago. In April, after the Super Bowl, Cam gave an interview to Ebony and got to talking about the hoodie he wore during his Super Bowl press conference. He asked them if they would consider taking his photograph wearing a hoodie again. According to the magazine, Newton's father explained to them why. The hoodie can represent a lot of things as it pertains to a young black man. Trayvon Martin, Black Lives Matter, even as athletics can function as a leverage piece for African-American expression, it still points to the inequality, the inequities that go on. My guess, based on the few public quotes that Cam and his dad have on the subject, is that Cecil told Ebony is more or less how Cam actually feels. But now when I bring up the exchange in the magazine, this is what he says. For what it's worth, I really wear hoodies, like, that's a fact.
You know what, and I might be wrong by saying this, but this is how I feel. I feel that all the shit he went through last year got to him terribly, and I think now he's like, you know what, I'm gonna quote unquote rise above this. And I think he's to the point where he's like, you know what, I'm not even going to talk about it or discuss. It's almost like he don't want to call people racist, because once you do that, all you do is open yourself up to criticism. But nigga, you're getting criticized anyway, so it's not gonna matter. But it's one of those things where he's like, I'm at work, so you know, let's keep it real. If y'all do an interview but you at work, you could be around racist people, but you're not gonna do an interview but like, yeah, my boss racist. You're not gonna do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think for a lot of people, it's very disheartening to know that you have, and no athlete is obligated to talk about race. You're not obligated to talk about race. You're not obligated to stand in your blackness. You're not obligated to do any of this. It's a plus if you do, but you're not obligated to. Just like when you go to your job every day and people bring up race around, most people, even if you are pro-blackity, black, put your fist up, you're gonna skedaddle away because you don't want them problems. And you know, it might be one of them things where he go, I don't want them problems.
Not everybody.
Right, not everybody, but everybody is not willing to risk it all. Everybody's not willing to go out on a limb.
Here's my thing though. And who the fuck that's racist gonna come around on Cam Newton?
Nothing he
said is gonna earn him one extra dollar that he didn't have before.
True.
He's already a extremely heavily compensated and advertised athlete. He's already this guy that people love for his unabashed brashness. To me, this is a retreat. You know, this is, and it's one that you don't have to make. It's a concession. Mm-hmm. You don't have to make, you know? It sound like some shit OJ would say. If we're being real, it sounds like some shit OJ would say. Like, oh, race, that's y'all. Like, America as a country, we beyond that. No, we aren't.
No, we're not.
No, we're absolutely not. When motherfuckers getting killed in the street, like, we not beyond it, dog.
No, we're not.
You know, I don't know if this is a reaction to Michael Bennett calling them out and him feeling some type of pressure, some type of way about that shit, maybe. Like, I feel like the spotlight's on me to say something, so let me just not say something because I don't want to get in any more trouble than I already have gotten into. Like, I'm shrinking away from it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's running away. And it's one of those things where I don't really think he wanted to answer the question. And instead of him just not answering the question, he answered the question, but answered it in a way to quote unquote be the least offensive that he could to make white people feel comfortable.
He decided that it was more, he could deal with black people being uncomfortable and the backlash from that than he could with white people. That's it.
Yeah.
So it's a business decision.
Yes, it is.
And the thing is, just because I understand it doesn't mean I have to be like, well, now I agree with it and it's cool. I think it's whack.
I do too.
I think it is super duper whack. Like, and it's not gonna get him what he thinks is gonna get him.
True.
There will be no reprieve. The second this nigga does not do good, it's gonna go right back to, well, he's kind of a lazy thug. What's wrong with his attitude? I ain't lift his head up. You know, all the things that came out, you know, anytime he underperformed or the team wasn't performing, and how there was no quarter given and there was no explanation and there was no one would look at the mitigating factors as to what was hurting Cam's performance or the team's performance. It was always just blame Cam Newton because we don't like him. That's coming right back.
Oh yeah, and it comes back every year because the fan base here is fucking horrible. I'm not even gonna lie. A lot of them are very, very, very racist, and they've been racist for Cam Newton ever from the very beginning. You still have motherfuckers talking about they'd rather have Andrew goddamn Luck versus Cam Newton. You still have people that were angry from the very beginning of us actually selecting him from the get-go, and those people will never come around, and they will never change. Yes, it is disheartening, and yes, it does hurt, but niggas make this decision every day when it comes to their jobs, which fucking sucks.
Yeah. It's kind of disheartening to see him, you know, kind of pull that. I remember when he first came to the league, he kind of tried to pull the, I'm not really a black quarterback, I'm just a quarterback, blah, blah, blah. But then last year when he said the African American quarterback thing, I think a lot of people were more hopeful for him, like, okay, cool. We finally got a quarterback who's not scared to be like, yeah, I'm black, and yes, I face an extra level of prejudice that my colleagues don't face, you know, and I'm aware of it and I'm not running from it. And nope, we'll be right back here.
Yeah, because man, you've talked about this. They cultivate them very, very young, and you know, they get them to the point where they kind of separate them out and make them feel extra, extra, extra special, quote unquote, per se. And they're young, naive, haven't experienced life yet. And then they go, "What about race? I just got at the job. I hadn't experienced anything yet."
Right. So, at any rate, man, sad. That's some sad shit, in my opinion. Let's see what else.
Before we go on, we will see how the season goes on, and we will see how they cover him. And like I said, if they fuck around and don't come out gangbusters, or we quote them, we don't make it to the playoffs or the Super Bowl, people in the city will lose their motherfucking minds.
Yeah, nobody's buying a Cam Newton jersey because he said he's above the nation's move pass race. Nobody's doing that. Nobody's gonna be like, okay, now you can sell Papa John pizzas because you said the magic words. Like, he ain't that type of nigga, to be honest. Like, he's not Russell Wilson.
Oh, no, no, he's definitely,
you know what I mean? And I'm not calling saying that on some Russell Wilson is a this, that, no. Other. I mean, Russell Wilson as in, he just doesn't talk about certain topics, and he also doesn't elicit that reflexive response when people see him.
Right.
Cam Newton elicits a reflexive response from a lot of people that are racist, where it's just like, I don't like the way he talks. I don't like how big he is. I don't like the way he dresses. I don't like the way he plays. I don't like the way he celebrates. Like, they don't like him because he's a young, brash, black man. Russell Wilson is, for a lot of people, a figure that they can transpose whatever morals they have onto him. Hey, he's just a Christian guy from small town,
clean slate, because he don't talk about nothing.
Yeah, it's whatever you believe, right. You know, if you think Russell Wilson would be real classy, then he would be. It's up to you. So yeah, I think it's just sad to see him go down that path, but you know, whatever, just kind of a,
yeah, we will see as the season go along, and how much as the season go along they remind your black ass that you black. I don't care if you want to admit it or not, you black dog.
Mm-hmm. Other news, DJ Who Kid has been busted over child support.
Now, you know, I don't know who the hell that is.
He's obviously a DJ, so
okay, play music. What type of music, what kind of music?
I mean, you wouldn't know him. He's a DJ. You don't know him.
Oh, so he's not that like a DJ Khaled.
Khaled, and no, he's not.
Okay.
DJ Who Kid does like those mixtapes and shit. He's not really a rapper, but anyway, he had an abrupt exit from work Monday after cops showed up and took him out in cuffs.
Oh shit! What'd he do?
Apparently, he was busted over child support. He works at SiriusXM office in Manhattan, and they nabbed him up on an outstanding family court warrant. Unclear what the warrant was for. Child support cases are confidential.
But obviously he wasn't banned.
Maybe he was like, "Who kid is this?"
Somebody got, that's the next hit.
DJ Who Kid is this?
They got a hold of that schedule. Wow.
Sources close to Who Kid tell us that he had a warrant for missing a court date. The computer show he was also 2 years behind on child support.
Woo! 2 years!
Mm-hmm. DJ Who paying for this kid?
DJ, I ain't paying for shit.
Mm-hmm. When Who convinced the judge he was up to date on support payments, they let him go. So, hopefully he'll be fine.
Yeah, DJ, if you tell a lie, they're gonna come back to get your ass, because they know where you work.
That's true.
Or you gonna fuck around and you gonna look at your check, and your check gonna be, DJ, where my money went.
No technology is safe, guys. You guys know this. There's a simple hack that unlocks 100 million Volkswagen vehicles. That's right. Some 100 million Volkswagens are vulnerable to hackers who discovered key vulnerabilities that allowed them to unlock the doors on the most popular cars on Earth, according to new research paper. This is wild, because Volkswagen literally just had a recall off the line about the fuel emissions.
Yeah, you got a Volkswagen, you might want to think twice. Don't buy no Volkswagen.
University of Birmingham computer scientist Flavio Garcia was already widely known for working with colleges to find major security flaws in Volkswagens last year that enabled hackers to quickly take over a keyless car. The new attack could result in the theft of anything kept in a car. When you put the two attacks together, you have a recipe for getting into and driving off with a stolen car in less than 60 seconds. Damn.
And like I said, maybe it's just me, and maybe I'm old, but you know, I'm like, hey, dog, Volkswagen make too much fucking money for somebody to be able to break into my shit.
Mm-hmm.
So if my car gets stolen because of this, can I sue them? Because they shouldn't have been able to get my fucking car.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you talking about lawsuit city. Don't let somebody's shit get missing, and it ain't even the hacker. They're going to blame it on the hacker. I would. Fuck it. Yeah, I want a brand new car.
Lawsuit city?
Mm-hmm. Let's sue the hell out of them.
It's that next to litigation town.
Of course.
Speaking of hacking, experts warn that hackers could soon take over your sex toys.
My sex toy not Wi-Fi shit. I don't know. Is it Wi-Fi? I don't know. I got a chip in it. I don't know.
Not even your vibrator is safe from hackers who could take it over remotely. Mm-hmm. Experts have warned that the new generation of dildos are vulnerable because they are connected to the internet. They say that hackers could exploit the web connection that links it up to an app and allows your partner to pleasure you from anywhere in the world.
Oh, those type of... Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay.
Hacking a vibrator raises the prospect of a total stranger being in control during a person's most intimate moment. Computer security researchers said that such a hack could constitute a sexual assault if it were to take place. That would be an interesting trial. I mean, it's not like any comedians would believe it happened.
And it should be. It should be.
Yeah, it should be, of course.
Right. It's like, I didn't ask for you to do this.
How would you even find out? Honey, are you pressing the button right now? No.
Yeah,
I'm at the gym. Uh-oh. I've been hacked. Computer security researchers said at a conference that revealed that they were concerned about the WeVibe 4 Plus, a vibrator that connects to a smartphone app that, its makers say, allows couples to keep their flame ignited together or apart. The device, which is described as the number one couple's vibrator, can be used remotely, such as during a video call or while texting. At the DEF CON hacking conference in Las Vegas, two New Zealanders, hackers who are known as Goldfisk and Follower, said that they were concerned for the 2 million people who use the device by the vibrator's manufacturer, a U.S. company called Standard Innovation. Man, it's going to be a crazy season of Mr. Robot Season 3.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying. Yeah, you know, and if I had that should be going back to the store.
I don't think you could just return vibrators like that. I don't think they put those. You can't rebox those.
There's no return policy. It's yours. It's yours.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure once it's been up your snatch, that is dead. Yours.
Right, but I didn't expect to be sexually assaulted either.
Mm-hmm.
That did not come along with my package.
Yeah, a lot of people in the past have said it's not really a serious issue, but if you come back to the fact that we're talking about people unwanted activation of vibrators, potentially sexual assault.
Right.
Another concern was that data being sent back to Standard Innovation could be stolen. So you think they can keep track of the app and how many times it was pressed and which kind of vibration you got, and they can be like, oh, you like maximum vibrations, and you like a lot of them. You a freak.
You don't start getting all kinds of, because who knows, they might get a hack of control of like your texts and all that shit. Yeah,
hackers gonna be exposing y'all's freak stats out here.
32 vibrates a second.
It's gonna be she's a freak level 5 if you want to put that next to the okay cupid.
Watch out for that one. You better have a big penis. She like it 9 inches, y'all.
Mm-hmm. She likes stimulated vibrations all day, 24/7. So yeah, this includes minute by minute temperature changes on the device, from which hackers can work out when it's being used and when the user is pleasuring themselves. Uh-oh, it's 98.6 degrees. time to hack it. So yeah, the Wii Vibe 4 Plus cost $135.
Shit, I'm not paying that much money to be hacked.
Mm-hmm. It has 10 modes to choose from, including Pulse, Wave, Surf, Peak, and Cha Cha Cha.
I'm not Cha Cha Cha. What the hell is we doing dancing in my pussy? What's happening here?
A little Cha 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 action.
We waltzing too? What's happening?
It also allows users to adjust the intensity. The device is curved to fit snugly in place. Mm. Inside a woman, it also compact and discreet for easy storage, according to a standard innovation. It's compatible with the iPhone 4S phones and newer devices, Android phones, and either wireless or cellular data connection. In a statement, Standard Innovation and said the data that the vibrator sends back to the company is solely for diagnostic purposes.
Mm-hmm.
And what, they got your freak file.
Right, and you say for couples, but what happened if they're a gay couple and the person that hacked them is homophobic?
Right, who knows what they're going to do to you.
Right, because it didn't say what type of hole.
They might turn it off. They might not want you to get no pleasure.
Ah, you be mad. I was ready. Your shit deactivated.
Yeah.
I've changed the battery 3 times. It won't come on.
Mm-hmm.
Ah,
hacking y'all's vaginas. Mm-mm-mm. Did you know that let's do some, let's go to another segment. Let's do this. Apparently Rudy Huxtable is having a time. Keisha Knight pulled him.
Oh shit, what happened?
Her husband is Ed Hartwell, or was. He's filed for divorce. Yeah, they were recently married, and she was pregnant at the time that he's filing for divorce.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure Bill Cosby, Dr. Cosby, will be, he killed Fox, will be very upset. NFL linebacker Ed Hartwell filed divorce papers this morning in Fulton County. This happened July. Fulton County, Georgia courthouse for pregnant Keisha Knight Pullum. He filed under the name Edgerton Hartwell II. For the reason for the divorce, he cited irreconcilable differences. This is less than 7 months after Keisha posted a photo on her Instagram announcing the nuptials with the caption, "The most amazing day of our life. New candidly Keisha, available on play.it Keisha/listen as we share our magical wedding day. Hashtag I'm officially Mrs. Hartwell." Last week she revealed that she was expecting a baby girl with Hartwell. Mm. Her first and his second. This does not make this his first divorce. The former NFL split with his former Real Housewife of Atlanta and current Hollywood diva Lisa Wu in 2011. So he like him famous.
Mm-hmm.
Mm, definitely got a type. I see famous. Ed Hartwell and Keisha also share Big Heart Sports and Fitness Academy that they recently opened up in Duluth, Georgia. Both yeah, so there you go, they got split and she's pregnant. But that's not all, Karen.
Uh-oh.
That's right, the story continues to go. Keisha Knight Pullum opened up about the divorce and said, "I'm not the one who cheated." Mm-hmm.
Ooh. Oh.
Mm-hmm.
It gets deep.
Ooh. Yeah, apparently she said she's not the one who did the cheating. So I guess that means Ed did the cheating. I mean, is that what we're supposed to be led to believe?
Apparently.
Sound like somebody was cheating. She said it's not me. It must not be the baby.
Right, man. The baby ain't got nothing. The baby just kind of showed up on the scene.
She sat down with Entertainment Tonight and said, "I have never cheated on him during my marriage. That's not who I am." Keisha then said she will have the paternity test Hartwell requested. Damn, we want a paternity test. Mm-mm-mm. That's not an issue. No problem. I've never been unfaithful to my husband. This is his daughter. She then breaks down into tears over her innocent child being dragged to this divorce drama. "It's not about me. The biggest thing, my priority." Yeah, she doesn't deserve it. So talking about her daughter. That's not where the drama ends, though. According to Keisha, it was her husband, who's of 6 months, who actually did the cheating. Early in our marriage, when I was faced with this, I was ready to leave. I had divorce papers ready. I presented them to him, and he begged for another chance. He said all the right things, and once I was pregnant, I did decide to give him that one last chance. Keisha and Ed dated for 4 months before becoming engaged on New Year's Eve. They secretly got married in January. Last week, Keisha announced she was pregnant with the couple's first child, and days later, Ed filed for a divorce. According to Keisha, she was completely blindsided by the divorce news. She says that Ed still slept in the bed with her as he did any other day. He left the house as he did on any other day, but on this day in particular, he texted her and told her, "This isn't working. I filed for divorce this morning, and I'm coming to get my stuff."
Oh, so she was blindsided.
Wow, that is a hell of a way to find out.
Oh, I'd be highly upset.
She says that she's planning to sell their home before the baby is born, and when asked she still loves her husband, she responds, "I love who he pretended to be."
Who he pretended to be.
That's not all, Karen.
Holy shit.
Yeah, a source. We don't know who it could be. It's just a source, okay? But a source says Keisha Knight Pullum was not submissive enough for Ed Hartwell. Wasn't submissive enough. There are quite a few things one must know about their significant other before jumping the room. Apparently, Ed Hartwell regrets not knowing pretty much anything about Keisha Knight Pullum before saying "I do." Keisha and Ed got engaged last New Year's Eve. A short time later, they announced they got married just over a week ago. Keisha announced she had a baby, blah blah blah, with the blue paternity test. You guys know the deal. A source says the couple is just not able to agree or see eye to eye on anything. Hartwell is very old-fashioned in marital beliefs and how couples should make decisions together. It seems Keisha is more interested in remaining a successful independent businesswoman than baking cookies and being a submissive wife. The source continues, this is probably just a case of a child star used to going through life baking her cake, having her cake, and eating her cake too.
Nigga, you don't get the fuck out of here.
Thank you, the source. As far as the baby, a source close to Hartwell says he doesn't have evidence that Keisha has been unfaithful, but the timing of her pregnancy is definitely under question. It's just that he told her he wanted to wait before having a baby, and things got really bad between them, and then she pops up pregnant, says the source. He even told her he didn't want to release the bump picture too so soon, but she did it anyway. When dating, and man, when you see this picture of her, guys, it's like, nigga, there was no choice. Like, everyone knew she was pregnant. Like, it wasn't a bump. Like, she looked like she fucking 5-6 months pregnant in this picture. Anyway.
Can you show it?
I'll show one of them. Give me a second. But yeah, so he said Ed felt Keisha was spoiled, another trait that would have surfaced prior to marriage. I'm not sure how long these two have dated before abruptly getting hitched, but if within 6 months he's ready to call it quits, it's possible they dearly didn't know each other at all. But that's true. Man, that's quick.
Somebody's been independent and making their own money and all this shit. You think you're gonna come in and just tell her what to do? What the fuck is wrong with niggas?
Ed Hartwell. Oh, it's not over. That's right. These motherfuckers will not shut up. They keep running to the blogs, as Jocelyn would say.
Are we on any of these posts on Instagram?
No. Ed Hartwell reveals the real reason behind the split with Keisha. So the blame game has started. Apparently, he's now saying he wants a paternity case. He wanted the paternity case test because he thinks she was cheating on him. According to Hartwell, the marriage fell apart just after 2 months due to jealousy, disagreements, and suspicions about infidelity on both sides. So that, you know, that does make sense. Because she already said he cheated on her. You know. Hartwell went on to explain the reason behind the paternity test request. According to a lot of their marital issues stem from their disagreements about starting a family. Pulliam wanted to have a baby so bad, while Hartwell felt they should wait and focus on one another since they waited so quickly. According to the former NFL linebacker, when the marriage took a turn for the worse, the intimacy came to an end, but Pulliam was determined to have a baby, so he believed she went behind his back to do it. So basically, he said they stopped fucking and then she popped up pregnant. So he's like, oh, okay, right. So you lying.
And she was saying, you kept sleep with me, mm-hmm. got up like every other day and sent me a text.
In an interview, he had talked about his wife and him having an in-depth conversation in February. He asked her if she was in love with him. She responded with the same question, and he said he wasn't sure. In addition, he confessed that his ex, whom he dated for 4 years, had lost a baby, and it made him realize he still cared about her. The revelation upset the actress and caused her to disappear from his life. Keisha Knight Pullen wasn't mad that I still cared about her. All she was mad about, you don't want to have a baby, but you're mad about her baby. You can't talk to her 13-year-old daughter, and there was a big fallout. The argument made the athlete realize Keisha wanted to have a child by any means necessary, but when things didn't add up for him, he had to ask for a paternity test. I can't say she's been unfaithful. I can't say she stayed out. She's not come home. She went out of town for 3 days. I don't know what's going on. I can say that, he said. I can't say she's been unfaithful. I can say she wasn't. She wanted to get in vitro. I can say she wanted to do some things to make sure she got pregnant. I just want to make sure it's mine. If it's mine, I'm going to love it to death. Okay, you all watched a couple episodes of Jerry Springer ass nigga.
Jerry.
I'm going to love it, Jerry. That's why I'm here calling this woman a slut, bitch, whore, and mother of my child that I will love and cherish forever if it's mine, which is not. Well, how sure are you, Keisha?
I'm 1,000% sure. I am 3,000,000% sure. Don't that baby look just like him?
Oh, ooh, that is what's like. That ain't my baby. Boo. Boo.
Boo. Boo this man.
Now this is on Instagram.
I know I had to get to Instagram eventually.
You are a little too proud of that.
Yes.
So apparently, what's the title of this article? We're not friends. Wait, why is this freezing? Come on. We're not friends. Keisha Knight Pullum threatens to sue Lisa Wu for speaking on her messy marriage drama. Remember when we told you that fans were blasting Keisha Knight Pullum for marrying her friend Lisa Wu's ex? So apparently Keisha Knight Pullum and Lisa Wu were friends. Lisa Wu's husband was Ed Hartwell, and now Rudy married Ed Hartwell. So basically she married her friend's ex-husband.
Okay.
So I'm assuming they're not friends no more. Let's see what this says. Well, now that Keisha's nuptials to Ed Hartwell are a miss, Lisa speaking out on the Hollywood Divas about the moment she learned Keisha was booed up with her husband. She said, Real Housewives of Atlanta put on Instagram, "So yeah, I'm turning into Hollywood Diva tonight at 9 on TV1. And even though they're wrapped, I hope the cameras are back out to give us some more tea." And it's a picture of Lisa Wu. Keisha has since taken to her Can Diddly Keisha podcast to, she got a podcast?
Right.
To clear the air. According to her, she and Lisa have not and will not ever be friends. Lisa Wu and I will never be friends. Well, I guess she ain't no Casanova. Her and Romeo
ain't never been friends.
I have no ill will.
See how much I really love you.
I have no ill will for her. I don't know her like that. It was never a situation of stealing anyone's husband. They were divorced many years before we even started dating, and yes, we lived in Atlanta. It's a small town. Have I run into her? Have I taken a picture with her? Absolutely. But I take pictures with people every day. And if you were categorized as friends with everyone you took a picture with, would that be accurate? I don't think so. Ooh. Oh, okay. Furthermore, her attorney would deal with TV One and Woo for the defamatory story airing on Hollywood Divas. I just want to say that I have no desire to continue to be part of that lie and to continue to be part of the false made up storyline that puts me in a defamatory and derogatory light, and I don't have anything more to say about that. But my attorney will be dealing with that from a legal standpoint with TV One and that whole situation. Lisa Wu, so forth and so on. It's very simple. No need to say my name because I'm not a part of it. I respect her for being EJ's mom because I love him dearly, and our connection is that we're going to have the same ex-husband and our children will be siblings. But beyond that, that's all. I wish you the best, and I'm moving forward. She ended with this. One thing you know in show business is that the show must always go on. I'm definitely had a trying week, to say the least, but I'm grateful. I'm here. I'm well. Baby girl is well. And at the end of the day, that is all that matters.
Was there hand clapping emojis in there?
It was no. I think that was her actual words from her podcast.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So it was no hand clappies to be passed around. Let me start our part two to our session real quick. Yeah, it looks like shit's getting real for our girl Rudy over there. And her 7-month marriage, man. All right, guys, I'm going to transfer over real quick. And I'll invite everybody to this session when it comes up. Prepare to go live. Call session the audience. Go live. All right, cool. And then I will invite you back on screen, Karen. Consider yourself invited. Now where were we? Oh, but that's not all. We got Mo.
Holy shit. I fell down this rabbit hole. Go. This is as long as Bill Cosby's victims. What the hell is happening here?
He tried it. A source close to Ed Hartwell claims he believed Keisha Knight Pulliam could be toting a gut full of Big Tigger. Big Tigger is the host of Rap City.
Okay.
You know him?
Mm-mm. But I know Rap City, though.
Okay. All right. Well, you know, baby steps, I guess.
Right, right.
Baby steps.
I know Rap City because it's been around forever.
I put his picture on the screen, but Big Tigger is currently out of the country and missing the scandal over his ex Keisha Knight Pulliam divorcing her new husband Ed Hartwell nearly as fast as she married him, but that hasn't kept him from being dragged into the fray. I didn't know they was together. According to the Jasmine brand, a source claims that the former NFLer believes she was cheating on him with her ex and that he is the father of her unborn child. Reportedly, Ed suspected Keisha had continued her relationship with her ex-boyfriend, radio TV personality Big Tigger, real name Darian Morgan. How did he get Tigger out of that? After they were married, Keisha and Tigger were together before she started dating Ed. According to the sources, Ed believes that Keisha had been having an affair with her ex-boyfriend. They dated for more than a year and even attended a White House Black History Month event together before they abruptly broke up in late 2015. Their breakup was so quiet and her relationship with Ed Hartwell happened so fast afterwards that she announced she was married. Many press outlets inadvertently ran photos of her and Tigger. Ed had suspected the couple may have maintained a sexual relationship even though she moved on with him, and that the baby could actually be Tigger's instead. Keisha is adamant that that is not the case, and she's embarrassed all of this is going on. The Cosby Show kids pride themselves on being drama free and never being in the headlines. The fact that she is involved in some Maury Povich type drama is everything she's worked to keep away from.
I hope she knows she is a grown adult, right?
Mm-hmm. But Ed, I think Ed Hartwell is just trying to throw everybody off the scent. Like, nah, she probably was fucking Big Tigger. And that's probably what really had happened. But we know that's not true. A source close to Big Tigger said he's currently out of the country. and will be addressing the rumors on his radio show in Atlanta. I didn't see that. That's the only article I didn't get.
Yeah.
I wonder what he said. Also, there's more. Why wouldn't there be more? This is some big news here. Big Tigger speaks on Ed Hartwell and Keisha Knight Pulliam's divorce.
What do you got to say?
Listen, stay out of married folks' business, y'all.
I'm trying to tell you, it is not a healthy place to be.
It is never, ever what you think.
You're right. You fuck around and everybody come out and tell the truth. You're like, well, goddamn.
I find it incredibly unfortunate that any man would desert his woman, his pregnant wife. Furthermore, to do so behind her back while publicly questioning her character by asking for a paternity test, to me, is corny. That's my opinion. Well, well, well. Sounds like Tigger still has a soft spot in his heart for old Keisha. Ooh.
That's what who wrote that?
I don't know. That's what they wrote in the article on Gossip. And there's one more. She fears that Ed Hartwell is trying to make her miscarry the child. You know, stress is one of the causes. According to divorce docs, she says Ed has been plotting to harm and obstruct her pregnancy by engaging in certain underhanded and unusual conduct that would trigger a miscarriage. She is 5 months along and is not specific as to Ed's conduct. Wait a minute. 5 months? So how this nigga gonna try to act like it's so crazy that she's pregnant by him? Y'all was 2 months into the marriage and then she's 5 months pregnant. Y'all was fucking, and then y'all stopped. You like, oh, so you pregnant? Yeah, a few months pregnant.
Right.
Jesus, this guy. She says he engaged in cruel treatment, which has adversely affected her pregnancy. Keisha says in legal docs, during that short marriage, Ed was constantly cursing, yelling, and demeaning her. She says he also had affairs with multiple women, including a former baby mama. In addition, she wants possession of all their firearms out of fear that Hartwell may attempt to harm her with one of them. Damn. That's some scary scumbag shit. This nigga got guns too? Anyways, that's what's going on with Rudy Huxtable, guys. You guys are all caught up on that one. I know y'all were worried.
Yeah, I know. We keep letting you know what's happening in that tea kettle.
I know y'all come to us for your
hard hit news,
your Rudy Huxtable updates, and now you got them. Okay, you guys know about Ed Hartwell and that messy ass divorce. All right, let's see what else we got here. I guess we could probably do some white people news.
Okay,
at this point in time. All right, let me see what white people news do I feel like playing. How about this one?
Bad girl. I've been careless with a delicate.
white people news. Ariana Huffington is leaving the Huffington Post to focus on health startup. It is important to know when one door closes and another opens, and I felt that moment had arrived, she said.
And this is not Ariana the singer.
Ariana Huffington. She plays the voice of Ariana the Bear on the Cleveland Show.
Ah, okay. Okay, I'm with you now.
She currently serves as editor-in-chief on HuffPost. She plans to step down in the coming weeks to focus on her soon-to-be-launched health and wellness startup, Thrive Global. Good for her, I mean. Mm-hmm. Now she cannot pay people in the health field. Ooh! I went there. I said it, y'all. No, we was all thinking it.
I don't know if you're working for free.
You know what I'm saying. But yeah, so she's moving on, guys. Keep up with that. Thrive is the new wave for Ariana Huffington. Star Paws. That's right. Star Paws. Cute pup named Chewbacca takes Instagram by storm thanks to his resemblance to the famous film character. This is what white people are having to concentrate on right now, Karen. These are treacherous times for white folks, okay?
Apparently so.
And you need to be able to relax with a cute dog that looks like Chewbacca.
Oh.
He's a rescue. And he's taking the internet by storm. What should I say? Stormtroopers.
Oh, what kind of breed?
He's a Chihuahua.
Oh.
He lives in Yuma, Arizona with his owner, Sarah Gottlieb. Also, he has prominent teeth that stick out of his lower jaw. Sarah, who revealed the mutt had 10,000 followers on Instagram. She says Chewy's snaggletooth underbite is definitely his trademark. It took him a year to reach 10k followers, as owner says that his snaggletooth underbite is definitely, I said that already. He only has seven teeth left.
Outfits.
There's a BB-8. He only had seven teeth left and a lot of dental work when he was saved. Sarah put the dog's popularity down to some opportune posting as well as Chewy's cute looks. It took about a year for Chewy to reach 10,000 followers on Instagram. I would try to post at least one picture a day. How many followers y'all got on Instagram, guys?
Oh, goddamn many.
I posted a picture of him next to Justin Timberlake with ramen noodles on his head, which took off more than I thought it would. Why is there a picture of him next to Justin Timberlake? Did Justin Timberlake come to your house to take a picture with Chewy?
Oh, no. Justin Timberlake had ramen noodles on his head? I don't know what happened.
Chewy has found love and fame, but it wasn't always so straightforward for him. Chewy was found as a stray by police in Yuma, Arizona, and found her way to Chiquita Chihuahua Rescue. My partner Alicia and I went down there, and I happened to see Chewy and instantly fell in love. Oh, look at this dog.
He's so cute.
He's only 4 pounds, but he has a big heart despite what he has been through, and was the perfect addition to our family. Chewbacca's Instagram is already all about spreading smiles and positivity. People seem to love dogs with unique features like this, and we love that he can make people smile. He's a great example of how amazing rescue dogs are.
Oh, that's so sweet, and he's small.
That's right. 4 pounds.
Ain't gonna get no bigger than that. Chihuahua, a tiny dog.
This is what white people talking about while we had an uprising in Milwaukee. People fighting the police and shit, and white people just sitting over here like, look at this dog.
Yeah, they dropping that.
I just want to pitch your little cheeks, you little dog.
Oh, they're dropping off foods and put in spaces in Louisiana because can't nobody get out there to the people.
Starbucks had to recall 2.8 million metal straws after children are left with cuts in their mouths.
What? Why do we have metal straws? Who thought metal straws was a good idea to get a children?
White people. When the white people news segment, so the answer is white people.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm an adult. I don't want no metal straw.
They have recalled more than 2.8 million metal straws because of the dangers they pose to children.
No shit. They break, cut them.
Also, it's hot coffee. Like, why would you give somebody a hot metal straw?
To hold in that heat.
The global coffee giants announced the move on Tuesday after three children were left with cuts in their mouths. They were sold in the U.S. and Canada and on the chain's website from June 2012 to June 2016. A set of three of the dangerous straws cost around $6, while beverage cups with straws were sold for $11 to $30.
$11 to $30.
$11 to $30 white man dollars.
To get cut? I don't think so.
Your child to get cut.
Oh, so they children cups. So yeah. These not for adults.
I guess, yeah.
Okay.
Well, or at least children are the ones who got cut. Maybe it was for adults and children used them.
Possibly.
So, there you go. If you white people out there have a metal straw, you can, there's been a recall, send them back in to Starbucks.
Get your dollars back.
Mm-hmm. 10-year romance is all over for sad Beatrice. Princess and her boyfriend Dave Clark call it quits after make or break talks over whether or not they should get married. Oh, this is so sad.
Now, you know, who is this?
Not Princess Beatrice.
Princess of where or who or what?
We'll see.
Apparently
her fairy tale romance was dashed. Since we're not going to get another royal wedding to celebrate. So she must be one of the princes of the royal family of England or something. Princess Beatrice is ending her relationship with long-term boyfriend Dave Clark. Oh, that is unfortunate. She looks like she could be the result of some Lannister-type things going on with the family. You know what I mean? Yeah. Sad to see. Members of the royal family are said to be shocked and saddened by the news that Beatrice and the Duke of York's eldest daughter, who is the Duke of York's eldest daughter, and her boyfriend of 10 years have parted. Wait, her boyfriend he not nobody? He just a dude? Ah! I thought it was gonna be like her boyfriend, the Earl of Sandwich or something.
Of course he's with another royal family. She ain't gonna pick nobody up at the subway.
Well, he just says her boyfriend. He don't have a title. Dave Clark, that's what they call him.
Yeah. I'm the Prince of Clark.
Yeah, maybe he's like the J Electronica of white people. I understand the couple quietly called time on their romance a month after the failure of a long and exasperated make or break talk centered on whether or not they should get married. A source close to Beatrice, 27, told the Mail on Sunday night, after 10 years together, Beatrice and Dave have wondered why they were not married. They talked it through and decided to take time apart to reflect on the future. They remained friends, and the decision of the break was mutual. Her family, including her sister, Princess Eugenie, and parents Sarah Ferguson and Prince Andrew, are said to be completely shocked by the news. Sarah, the Duchess of York, in particular, is said to feel as though she has lost a son. She's the Princess of York? I don't know. Another source said Sarah considers Dave to be part of the family. She is very sad it didn't work out. They have been together longer than many marriages last. Other branches of the family are likely to be less devastated by the news. Rumors have long circulated that Prince William did not approve of the relationship and demonstrated his dislike of Dave, 32, by refusing to invite him to the royal wedding in 2011. He is said to have considered Dave an indiscreet addition to the extended family and was opposed to the prospect of his little cousin marrying him. But pressure for Dave to propose intensified in May last year after the birth of Princess Charlotte pushed Beatrice down to the seventh in line to the throne, meaning she no longer had to seek permission to marry from the queen, who would most probably have taken William's advice on the matter. So that was their chance to get married, and he tapped out. So, because she could finally be like, let's get married now before they can, you know, because then they can't tell me no, because I don't have to ask for permission, which is ridiculous. In 2016, you had to ask for permission? Wow. But yeah, Dave was like, fuck that, man. I was with you because I was hoping they would say no.
Yep.
It was thought that the Succession of Crown Act, which requires the first six in line to the throne to seek royal approval had been the stumbling block. But when Dave failed to propose for more than a year after Charlotte was born, Beatrice decided to address the problem head on. The source added, Beatrice has become a lot more assertive and confident recently. She gave Dave an ultimatum, but it backfired because he did not ask her to marry him. But they both agreed that no marriage would be in their future, so it's time to go separate ways. So that's a
might be a good thing, baby.
Mm-hmm. That's sad. You know, William was worried over his indiscreet ways because apparently the two men are said to have fallen out after William decided Dave was too indiscreet to invite to the royal wedding, perhaps mindful of at least one unsuitable earlier boyfriend. William is said to be protective of Princess Beatrice and told friends in the past he didn't feel Dave was right for her. Beatrice, now ex-boyfriend, speaks with the mid-Atlantic accent after his wealthy family divided their time between New York and London. Oh, okay. So he don't even got a true English accent like you need to have. Okay. Mm-hmm. Dave spent 10 years working for Virgin Galactic Space Tourism Project and still describes himself as a future astronaut for the project. He is a close friend of the Branson family and regularly holidays in Necker Island. In 2015, he left the space program, retaining his ticket for the first commercial orbit to become head of external affairs for taxi app Uber. So, I definitely can see why he wasn't married to material. This is what white people are concerned about. All right, let's get into some Guess the Race, guys. Get into some Guess the Race. Why not, right? It's not like we got anything better to do, right? Where's my Guess the Race music? Now that it's time for some Guess the Race. That's right, it's Guess the Race time. Now that it's time for some Guess the Race. That's right, it's Guess the Race time. Ba-da-da. That's right, it's time for Guess the Race. The number one game show. The number one game show going across all the podcasts, and we read and play news articles from all over the globe. When we ask our contestants today, Karen, and the chat room to Guess the Race. And the chat room plays alone.
My bad.
What were you showing me? I couldn't see. Yeah, doing it last. Okay. Yes, that has nothing to do with the show. All right. Problem. Karen is my producer now, y'all. Give me notes in the middle of the show.
They ain't got no chat.
I can't.
That's something you need to ask them. We need a chat.
How about you say yo, but I'm dumb, huh? How about that, Karen? You focus on what you supposed to be doing.
My bad.
Police said a man posed as a delivery driver and stole cases of beer. An Alabama man is wanted for a grocery store scam. Central Alabama Crime Stopper said Darius Williams, 22, poses a delivery driver and entered the grocery store with a large cart. He loaded up the cart with cases of beer and soda and rolled the cart out the store where he placed items in his car and drove away. He wears a uniform and had been convincing enough to fool several store managers in the area. According to AL.com, he is wanted on 4 counts of theft of property. Guess the race of Mr. Darius Williams, Karen.
Bud Light drinking white.
All right, let's check the chat room and see what they believe his name, his race is. Ain't no white Darius. Black, says Cap Doug. A very smart brother, says Sparger. Had cases of Old E and grape soda. Black, says EVE. Surprising, since the store managers follow him around the store. Whiter than the owner of Chewy Chihuahua. Black, white, pass for Darius Rucker. The correct answer is he was Blizzak. And Karen, you missed it.
That was some white privilege. I mean, you just roll out of the front store with all the limerade.
I mean, delivery man be looking black sometimes, Karen. That's what he looked like in his uniform. I mean, what kind of delivery dude comes in and takes sodas out, takes shit out the store?
Out. No. They know they're taking shit in the store.
And also, Bud Light and soda, like, you deliver, you do both, you do the drink, you do the beers and the sodas. Just, like, he must have been convincing as fuck, man.
Yeah, I forgot they do take out expired shit, but a whole shelf ain't expired. Mm-hmm. He was like, I'm gonna take out all 20 of these. Yeah, the expiration date is tomorrow.
Let's do another one. A thrice widowed woman is now on trial in the death of her second husband, who died outside his New Orleans home.
Oh shit, number two.
In the spring of 2006, Emma Rain, 52, faces a mandatory sentence of life in prison if convicted of second degree murder in the shooting death of 38-year-old Ernest Smith. Her third husband, James Rain, also was implicated in Smith's death, and prosecutors called it a plot to benefit from his life insurance proceeds. She has only been charged in Smith's death, but a prosecutor previously made it clear that her other two husbands' deaths were also suspicious. While it has been more than 7 years from the time Smith died until Rain was arrested in his death in 2013, she had been on police radar early on. Please be advised that the beneficiary, Emma Smith, wife of the deceased, cannot be ruled out as a suspect in the death of Ernest Smith, a New Orleans detective wrote in an insurance investigation company in a to an insurance investigation company in a letter July 12, 2006. By the time Emma Smith was arrested in that case, she already had a new name, Emma Rain, and was again a widow.
Ah!
Her third husband, 37-year-old James Rain, was shot to death at the couple's Pearl River County, Mississippi home in 2011. Emma Rain was out of town at the time, but authorities still had suspicions. She is a suspect in that James Rain case, Pearl River County Sheriff David Allison said in a 2015 interview. And through investigating that case, we were able to get some information that New Orleans needed and pass it on to them. No arrests have been reported in James Rain's death. Emma Rain has since pleaded not guilty to second degree murder in the death of Ernest Smith. Jury selection began on Tuesday and opening statements began on Wednesday in New Orleans. So let's see. Oh, no eyewitness testimony or physical evidence will link Emma Rain to the killing. They said, but witnesses will testify to trigger man. James Rain's adoptive brother, Alfred Terry Everett, admitted to killing Smith at the urging of Emma and James Rain for a share of life insurance money. This some snap shit. She added that documents will show that Emma bumped up the value of the policies on Smith over the years before his death. Defense attorney Martin Reagan's view of the case, James Rain and Terry Everett plotted Ernest Smith's death without involving Emma. So that's their defense. Like, oh, they didn't even tell her. That's a classic defense. He cast the late James Rain as an opportunist who seduced Emma as she suffered through an unhappy marriage to Smith and plotted Smith's death to get her money. Mm-hmm. This case is about greed and money, infidelity, and guy's name's James, said Reagan. Okay, you can't be my lawyer. You can't ring up that last line. He stressed that Emma Rain has never been arrested in James Rain's death. Who killed James Rain was another jealous husband, Reagan asked. Everett was convicted of second degree murder in December 2014. After prosecutors said he had been promised by James and Emma Rain $10,000 from a $800,000 life insurance benefit. Just $10K? That's what you did it for? Man, you should have got more than that. If I got to kill a motherfucker, I want at least a tenth of what y'all got. His appeal is pending in the state Supreme Court. It was unclear whether jurors would hear testimony about the death of Emma Rain's first husband, Leroy Evans, who died while hospitalized in 1994 after he was hit by a car. No arrests were reported in that case, but during Everett's trial, prosecutors called his death suspicious. Guess the race of, what is her name? Emma Rain.
White.
All right, let's check the chat room, see what they believe. Ernest, James, and Emma are all black church ushers. Delicate white flower, Kappa Delta white, an extra from East Bayou out here killing her husbands through black girl magic. White, all this white on white crime is heartbreaking. Whiter than a Cam Newton detractor. Many men, white. The correct answer is black.
Show me a pic,
some of you did get it.
my racism that off.
I'm gonna show you the picture. Your racism is horrible.
Yes, it is.
That's her right there. Emma Rain.
Oh yeah, she's black.
Yeah, the
committing all these crimes.
The clue should have been her husband's names: Alfred, Leroy. I mean, come on, Karen. Come on, buddy. That's Alfred, Leroy, and James were her husbands.
That's, you have white women playing black men.
Mm-hmm. Well, you were wrong. You used the wrong racial sense.
Ha ha!
All right, let's get into the bonus round. Double the points and the race. Double the points and the race. That's right, bonus round against the race. So far, everybody is all over the place. Karen's 0 for 2. But can she make it up in the bonus round?
I'm terrible, y'all.
That's right. That's right. Let's see. How about... let's go to an old one. An Ohio couple is accused in a double murder and shooting over a drug deal gone bad in Columbus. Mm-hmm. Apparently Mia Shamis, 19, and Connor Jeffries, 21, were arrested Wednesday, a day after Jeffries fatally shot two men the couple knew well in a parking lot on Columbus Far East Side, according to the Columbus Division of Police. A judge on Thursday set bond at $1 million or more for both Jeffries and Shamis, who were posed in short, well, I don't care what she had on. Let's see, video from the courtroom, WBNS TV showed the jail uniforms that, clad they wore, okay? They had horrified expressions on their face during the hearing. Let's see, police identified the couple's victims as Gary Ashton Francis, 20, and James Earl Miller, 21. All four people involved in the broad daylight shooting graduated from high school in 2013 and 2014 in the Pickerington local school district, about 20 miles from downtown Columbus. The incident has been a tragedy for the family and friends of everyone involved, Superintendent Valerie Browning Thompson said in a statement. Our thoughts and prayers are with them during this difficult time. We have let our students know that if they wish to discuss their thoughts or feelings about this with someone, we have trained counselors available at both high schools. Francis died immediately at 2:11 p.m. in the shooting, and hospital staff pronounced Miller dead less than an hour later. So yeah, they said apparently they were sitting behind an Enterprise rental car, and Jeffries walked over and fired shots into the vehicle after a short conversation with them. It wasn't immediately clear what led to the shooting and what drug was involved. Representatives for the police department didn't immediately respond to the request for comment. Thursday night, investigators acted on the many tips they received and reviewed camera footage of it before arresting the couple. Police say Shamis had driven Jeffries to the parking lot in the Chevrolet Malibu and sped away with him after the shooting. They were arrested Wednesday, and police obtained a warrant to search the Violet Township home they lived in together. The mother of Miller, one of the two victims, spoke tearfully to reporters in the couple's court appearance Thursday. They gunned down my baby, Tisha Miller said. Nobody has the right to take anyone's life. Guess the race.
Black.
All right, let's check the chat room and see what they believe Mia Shamis and Connor Jeffries are. What race? Let's see. Blacker than the participants in the 100 meter. Chevy Malibu. That sounds black. Burn LeBron jerseys together in the same parking lot during better times, HC says. I'm assuming that's white.
Mm-hmm.
Gun down black, Blizzak. And Zoe99 says, let me move this out the
black.
Way. Black. The correct answer is, and Karen, you went 0 for 3. They was white.
What? Catch this damn game.
Chat room, one or two of you got it right. still got it wrong, buddy. I don't know what you were thinking. The victims were black dudes, but apparently these druggies was the perfect white couple. All right, let's get into
I'm terrible at this game, y'all.
Get into some sword ratchetness here. Okay,
I'm not as racist as I thought I was.
Get into a little bit of sword ratchetness. My sword sound effect. And boom goes dynamite. Let's see, how about this one? Police arrest a Canandaigua, okay, threatened officers with a sword. He's behind bars after the incident that took place on Wednesday around 5:30 a.m. Police were called to a disturbance at this dude's house. They say 31-year-old Joseph Calvinow was armed with a sword that was several feet long. Guess the race, white. According to police, a woman was able to separate herself from Calvinow. Officers say Calvinow then verbally threatened them, walking towards the officers while unsheathing the sword. Police used a taser to stop Calvinow. He was then taken into custody. Calvinow is charged with two counts of menacing. He is being held at the Ontario County Jail on $10,000 bail. The investigation is still, the investigation is still under investigation. Who wrote this? And further charges are pending. Anyway, all right, guys, listen, we're almost out of here, but we're not going to end it just yet. Does anybody in the chat room watch The Walking Dead? Is anybody in the Walking Dead or any nerds in here? Real quick, I'm asking the chat room. Hell yeah, yes. Okay, so we got at least two people. Eve, she says, yeah. Okay, all right, cool. Well, you know, we have this loot crate stuff, and it is burning a hole in our house. We would love to give some of it away. And we have some new Walking Dead trivia cards here. And we thought we'd play a little Walking Dead trivia with y'all. And Karen will keep track of who gets the answers. And I think we'll just, we'll give away one item for each question. Now, the thing is, we'll keep track of who it is, but we need you guys to email us or give us your email address,
right,
or put your email address into the chat.
Yeah, and what are the rules? Are you get one right, you automatically get it?
If you get it right, and you're first, okay? This ain't for no suckers, okay? This is for true trivia junkies, okay?
So be listening.
You get it right and you're first, you get a prize, okay? Now, the thing is, we don't want to just have it dominated by one person or whatever, so, you know, we will probably not have people win, you know, more than one or whatever, so... but we will keep you guys updated. All right, so you ready to do this, guys? All right, let me see what the first one is. Let's see here. All right, we got some nice Mega Man socks. Okay, made by BioWorld. Okay, these came in the loot crate. They're one pair of crew socks, size 10 through 13, fit shoe size 8 to 12. All right, you know, we might let people win more than one, because we can just put it in the same package, right? All right, yeah. So, all right, you can win more than one. So, keep playing. All right. So, here's the first trivia question. All right. True or false? Crowley dies when Michonne decapitates him in season 3. Wait, that's a horrible question. Forget that one. That's terrible. It's just true or false. Anyone can get that. Let's go to this one. It's multiple choice. All right. In episode 6, season 4, what game do Megan and David play in their apartment? Chess, backgammon, or Chinese checkers? Chess, backgammon. It looks like Sparger got the first one right. Sparger, it is backgammon, and you win the socks, okay? So
give me your email address, baby.
Yeah, put your email address in there. We'll email you to get your physical address and we'll handle it like that. All right, so one down. All right, so Sparger gets the socks. I'm gonna put these in the over here. All right, next prize. All right, cool. All right, you got that email address, Karen?
Yeah, I'm getting ready to copy it and put it in like a whatchamacallit file.
Cool. All right, this one is okay. This is a 3X t-shirt that has the Voltron logo on it. Dun-dun-dun-dun. Bam. All right, I wish I had a Vanna White in here. This is a nice ass shirt. All right, who's ready for the next question? All right, guys, let's see, how about this one? In Judge, Jury, and Executioner episode of The Walking Dead, who does not support Rick's decision to execute Randall? A, Dale. B, no one supports him. Or C, Carl. EVE got it. Dale. EVE, you get the Voltron shirt. Now it's 3X, all right? So I'm putting this down. EVE, Voltron shirt. Put your email address in the chat. And we'll make sure to get it sent to you, okay? So whatever email, we'll get your address. Okay, cool. There we go. Copying and pasting that.
Are you copying and pasting then?
Yeah, I got it. Okay. Yeah. All right, so EVE gets the Voltron shirt. There you go. All right. Let's see what else we got here. How about... Oh, now this is my favorite item. Okay, guys. This is the best one in my opinion. This is a hoodie.
Yeah.
And it's 3X, I believe. Let me check, double check. Yeah, 3X is a Futurama hoodie. Like, you guys can see it on the screen, and it's black, but the white etchings on it are the Futurama characters.
Mm-hmm. I like this one.
So you got like Bender, you got Leela, Fry, everybody. Zoidberg, Scruffy is on there. All right, so. Whoever gets the next question, that's who wins this. All right, that's who gets. All right. In season four, guys, talking about the prison season. What does Rick use to lure the walkers away from the fence? A, firecrackers. B, pigs. C, boombox. What does he use to lure them away from the fence? EVE got it. It's pigs. That's right.
Yeah, because everybody kept making bacon jokes.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, oh no, the bacon!
That's when they let them eat the pigs, dog. EVE, you also win the Futurama hoodie, man. Put you down for Futurama hoodie. Cool, we can save on postage. It's all going to the same place. People gonna be mad, man. Only 13 people in this chat right now.
Well, come on, that's your fault.
I can't wait to put this on the feed. Motherfuckers gonna be like, I got to listen live. Okay. Sparger, you can't hear something wrong with the chat or something? Wait, how could EVE hear if you can't hear? Hold on, brother. But is something wrong with the sound, everybody? Do I need to refresh?
Do we need to refresh? Let us know now.
Oh, everybody else can hear. Okay. All right. Cool. All right. See what else we got here. We'll do one more thing and then we're gonna be out. All right, it's the last one. Okay, this is another shirt. I don't even know what this design is. Who is this? Oh, Gate. It's an anime. All right, so Gate, this is a shirt from the anime Gate, and it has this logo on the front, and this is just a XL. Okay, the other ones were 3XL. This is just an XL. All right, guys, let's see what's going on here. Wait, Cass always said she said pig. Wait, what? I don't see it on here. Do you see pig? From Cass, always. No cheating, y'all. I don't see it. So I don't know. Don't be trying to cheat in here, y'all. Don't be complaining because you didn't win and try to put it on us like, oh, y'all just didn't see. If it don't show up, we only go by the rules, okay? Okay, Underwear Sparta said Keys. I don't see it. Do you see it, Karen? In the chat, Underwear Sparta says Keys. Did it say pig by Cass always?
I see Keys, then I see Boombox.
Yeah, we don't see it, Cash. You gotta, you know, get up off that Wi-Fi and get you a real computer, dog. I'm sorry. Here's your last chance. What reason does Carl give Michonne for not wearing his cowboy hat anymore? A, bad things happened last time. B, he lost it. C, it's not a farming hat. Which could it be? C says Cass always, and Cass, you just won a damn shirt.
You got it.
Congratulations.
Right.
You were complaining, but now look at you. You beat Sparger out with now you got this nice gate hat, shirt. Let me put your email in the chat, please, ma'am. Or sir, or I don't know what Cass is. Let's see, Cass always. And you got the gate t-shirt and email address. Still need that from you.
Yeah, put your email address in there.
Mm-hmm. But good for you, Cass. You know what I'm saying? I feel like, you know, that's why I appreciate you not just complaining and sitting back. You were proactive and you
good
said,
way to get that rebound.
I'm gonna get this one. You know what? Let's do one more. Okay?
Yep. I like this.
All right. What do we got here? We got some, I think these are Star Trek. Yes, Star Trek socks. Okay. Now these are, oh, we actually have two of them. All right. Maybe we'll do two questions. All right. Star Trek socks. Now I don't know if you guys can see this, but they're tiny little Enterprises on the socks.
Yeah. Like spaceships.
Like the Starship Enterprise has, they're designed on the socks. Okay, guys. So we got two pair of them. I think they're both the same size. So we're going to, ask a question for the Star Trek socks. Okay. Wait, why do we have two pair of these? I wanted a pair. Y'all going to get a pair of my socks. Ain't this terrible?
It was in there.
Okay. Number one. How about this? No, wait, let me find another one. All right. This is an important question. All right. Everybody likes these socks. How about this one? Who first explains to Rick Grimes that the world is overrun with zombies in The Walking Dead? A, Dale Horvath. B, Morgan Jones. C, Morgan Davis. B. JJ Skywalker said B. Sparta said Morgan, but he just said Morgan. I mean, it's two Morgans. It's a Morgan Jones and a Morgan Davis. So you kind of fucked up there, Sparta. The correct answer is B. JJ Skywalker, you guess it, baby. You win the Star Trek socks. So let me put JJ Skywalker. We need your email address, player. Need your email address. Star Trek socks. And okay, cool. Got the email address in here. And now we still have another pair of these socks, okay? So these are yours. You win these. All right. And the second pair of socks. All right. I'm going to ask a different question here. So let's see. I need socks to wear with my hoodie. All right. Here we go. Here's another one. Season 4. What does Mika do to the deer she and Carol find in the grove? A, let it pass. B, shoot it dead. Or C, chase it away. EVE got it. You got your socks. The only person to say let it pass. Everybody else said the wrong thing up front. She said she needed some socks and she spoke her socks into existence. EVE, you're getting yourself some goddamn socks. Man, it's the best game show ever.
Yes, it is.
I'm enjoying giving y'all stuff.
This I know.
Evie is she is racking up here. Star Trek socks, Futurama hoodie, Voltron shirt. I mean, you're gonna be able to like nerd completely out. Okay.
Yes.
All 13 of y'all in the chat.
I'm about to say, you won't do anything else.
All right, we can do one more thing.
Okay.
What is this? A tote? What is this?
Mm-hmm. It's like a hand tote. You can open it up if you want to.
Okay, let me. I have to open it up because I don't know what this is, guys. Hold on. It appears to be some sort of a tote. Mm-hmm. It's like a whole like utility pack thing here.
Yeah, it got all kinds of zips and pockets in it. That's okay. Neat.
Firefly is what this is. So it's from the TV show Firefly. And it looks like almost like a travel pack or case or something. Mm-hmm. And the buttons on this are magnetized. So all you have to do is just lay them there and they just lock. Mm-hmm. So
got a bunch of pockets in it.
If y'all are in the Firefly, this is for you. Yeah, all right.
Two of them.
No, I'm keeping one of these for me. All right.
Well, one. My bad.
So let's ask some trivia questions and see who gets this. All right. So far we have four different winners. Let's see. All right, guys. how about this? Which Walking Dead character accidentally shoots Morgan and knocks him unconscious? Rick, A, Rick, B, Carl, or C, Michonne? Oh, everybody's missing it. So, EVE, you technically got it right, but you missed it the first time. So I'll tell you what I'm going to do. Throwing this question out. I'm going to do this again.
That one don't count.
This one doesn't count. You all are terrible. You forgot that Carl shot Morgan and knocked him out. Let's do another one. Same thing, same prize. Let's see if you guys can get this one. Let's see. How about, what is this one? All right. Season 2 in Judge, Jury, Executioner. In that episode of The Walking Dead, who beats and interrogates Randall? Remember Randall? He was the kid they thought he knew what some people were and stuff. A, Laurie. B, Daryl, or C, Andrea. Who beat him? Cass always got it. It's Daryl. That damn Daryl Dixon does not play that shit, okay? So you get the Firefly. I don't even know what to call this. Utility pack? I don't know.
Yeah, because it looks like a utility bag. You gonna like this? It got all kinds of zippers and stuff on it.
Yeah, this is nice. So putting that down there. Put the plastic down there. All right, and last thing. This is the last thing. Here we go. All right. Fallout. Anybody play Fallout? Mm-hmm. We got some Fallout socks. All right, guys. You like gaming? We got some Fallout socks for you guys. Here is your question. All right. This is the last one. And for all you people that don't watch the show live, shame on you. Mm-hmm. Okay? Olympics ain't this good. They ain't gonna do nothing but make Gabby cry.
All right. Hurt up her feelings.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. No, let me find a better question. How about... All right, here we go. In the final episode of season 4, who are Rick and Michonne ambushed by in the middle of the night? Abraham and Eugene, B, Terminus Scouts, or C, Joe's Gang? You know what? Technically, Sparger got it right. He said the Claimers. Now, Karen, do we allow the Claimers? Because it's Joe's Gang is the correct answer. And you may remember Joe's Gang is the one that Daryl hooked up with, and they were, when Daryl shot the rabbit, the dude came and got it and stuff like that. Now, Sparger called them the Claimers. This is before I said Joe's Gang. Does that one count, or do you have to say C, Joe's Gang?
I Because that's, they were called the Claimers, though, right?
I don't think they ever really had an official name. I know Joe was the leader.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Now, these are Fallout 4 socks. Now, the thing is, if he doesn't win it, then that means Cap Dub wins. But Cap Dub said he would allow Claimers if it was him. So,
okay.
What do you think? This is up to you, Karen. Judges, let's go to the judges. Oh, will you allow that for Spardra?
Yeah, I'll allow it.
She will allow it. Sparta, you get the Fallout socks. So you socked up. You got two pairs of socks today. Fallout socks. And what was the other socks he got?
The Mega Man
socks. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, okay.
So you want to do one more then?
Thank Karen for the Fallout and the Mega Man socks. That's all you, player. That's all you. Say you want to do something else. All right, last thing. All right, this time for real, Karen.
This time for real.
You keep saying do one more. This is the last one.
Okay, all right? This is the last one. Okay.
This is an Attack on Titan. Is this a keychain? It might just be the Attack on Titan logo mm-hmm. pin.
Yeah.
Like you tie it around your neck like a necklace, okay? Mm-hmm. I don't know if you guys are into Attack on Titan.
I am.
But I am. All right, here's a question. Wait, damn it, why did I pick the same card I've already been avoiding? All right, here we go. What does Patricia feed the walkers in the barn in The Walking Dead? A, chickens with broken legs. B, cows. Or C, dead walkers. Jesus Christ, you guys were on top of that. EVE said chickens. And you're right, Evie. Good grief. I didn't get that question out.
I know.
Y'all niggas are some nerds. Anyway, you win the Attack on Titan thing, Evie. So, Attack on Titan necklace. All right, guys, that's it, okay? We got to save some stuff for another time because all the angry people that are going to be super pissed.
Yeah, we still going to be collecting stuff, so...
So you can either email me from your from these email addresses that you gave us, theblackouttips@gmail.com, or I will email you and get your address. It's really up to you. But we'll get your stuff out as soon as you give us your address. I'm gonna leave all this in the podcast just so they can be hating.
Right, that's why you gotta listen live.
And be like, why didn't I listen live? This is the best episode ever. This is also for all the people that don't watch The Walking Dead, okay? You guys gotta listen, you gotta do more than just listen to the podcast, all right, guys? We'll be back tomorrow, okay? Until then, I love you.
I love you too.
Mwah.